on Friday morning. Now let me share with you that by the grace of God, my family and I will probably not do any more devotions than the number 365, which represents 1 year. And by the grace of God, that will, I believe, provide enough information and family devotions from one family who has done it for 30 years, over 30 years, by the grace of God, to help young families, particularly, start a tradition of family devotions in their family. I highly recommend it, highly recommend it. If you want your family to stay together, if you want your family to have a lifelong purpose, and if you want to have peace and real joy in your family, regardless of the dynamics, regardless of whether or not you have a disobedient person in your family, a rebellious person in your family, a Judas person in your family, or what have you, family devotions can absorb that and deal with that. And even if the person does not confess their sin and repent, be it an adult, a parent, or a wayward teenager, they will be contained by regular family devotions. You will be able to see them controlled by God so that they will not be that one thing that would bring down the Titanic of the family. So get in as much as you can. Get as much as you can, because this is a limited edition. We will be ending this, by the grace of God, in 365 days total. And if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, and as you can tell, it is rapidly approaching. For we're at devotional number 131. So start your family devotion as soon as possible. And stick with it. And stay with it, no matter how late you rise. Even if it's 11 o'clock in the morning, don't let that discourage you. Pray together. Harold S. Martin wrote, "Every one of us needs to strive to stay in top spiritual condition through the discipline of daily devotional exercise. The absence of private daily devotions is the number one reason for backsliding among professing Christians." Can somebody say amen? Backsliding. Going back into the world. You'd be amazed at how many Christians, born again ones, excuse me, you will be amazed at how many Christians, born-again ones, who go back into the world. You'll be amazed. I have sinned before as a Christian. I've done wrong before as a Christian. I've had bad thoughts before as a Christian. But by the grace of God, in nearly 40 years, I have never backslidden back into the world and just quit on God. I don't know what that means. I don't know how one can do that. And you say, well, how do you know they're saved, those who have backslidden, because they come back? See, if they're born again, if they hear the right message at the right time, the right somebody comes along to say a few words from the Word of God to them, they'll come under conviction very quickly, and God will bring them back if they're saved. If they're already saved, if they're born again, they may have gotten discouraged or defeated or whatever, but they'll come back to God. They'll come back to the church. They'll come back to Jesus. Amen, somebody. If you're born again, you're gonna make your way back, no matter what happens. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to see another beautiful Friday morning. And we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, love, and grace. This is a day that we have never seen before and we shall never see again. We thank you, Lord, for, as I expressed last night, the marvelous things that you have done in our lives, all by your grace. And Lord, some things we didn't understand it coming up. But Lord, now we see what you were preparing us for, and now we see what you were doing. And we still have not seen all of the wonderful things that you have in store for us. And Lord, one of the reasons why I'm convinced now, Lord, that we cannot even imagine the blessings of your grace upon us on the other side in heaven is because our bodies could not stand it, because there are some of us who can barely stand up under the blessings you have bestowed upon us. For you said in your word that I will bless you in such a way that you will not have room enough to receive it. And as the old saints used to say, at least in the black church, my cup runneth over. And Lord, you have heard me say, Lord, I just can't take another blessing. One preacher preached a series one time, as you know, Lord, titled, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? And now I know what he's talking about. And so, Holy Father God, thank you for blessing those of us that you have blessed in such a way that we don't have room enough to receive it. We are ecstatic. We are beside ourselves. You've answered so many of our prayers, and everything is coming to bear and to fruition. And Lord, we can hardly stand it. But we give you the glory, praise, and honor. And we thank you for blessing us to be in this position. And there are thousands of your saints this way. And Lord, they cannot quit smiling when you see them. They just, and it's not all about financial and material blessings, but just deep down in the soul and in the spirit blessings from years of your filling us with your Holy Spirit to be obedient and to be faithful. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We want this for our children. We want this blessing and this anointing and this joy and this peace for our grandchildren. And we pray that you would pass it on to them if they would love you back, because you first loved us, trust you and believe in you, have faith in you, fear you, respect you and reverence you, obey you and be faithful to you. And Lord, we pray that in these last days, it seems to us you would even use us greater, no matter how much the devil is fighting against us. Help us to hold up the blood-stained banner even higher, and help us to stand for the blood-stained banner, and help us to kneel to you in prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, may God bless your day. And if you want to have a blessed day, have a godly day. And the way to have a godly day dear friend, is to have faith in God, to trust in God, to believe in God. And that is expressed largely by your prayers to God without ceasing, as he has commanded. He said, pray without ceasing. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, to this purpose, and to this aim, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. No matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what your flesh throws at you, don't quit. Even if you get knocked down, even if you get clocked, get back up. Maybe staggering, but get back up. Have faith in God. Trust God. Love God back. Fear God. Respect God. See, if you respect God, you're not going to do certain things. You're not going to do evil against God. And then obey God. That leads to obedience, respecting God, fearing God, reverencing God. And then be faithful. Obedience leads to being faithful in obedience. And God will bless you for loving him back like that. Because Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's just the way it is. And if you don't love him, you will not obey him in that way. So don't tell any lies about it. Be truthful and honest. And if you love Jesus, obey him. And you'll have a blessed day because you had a godly day. And I assure you that when, no matter what kind of bed you have, numbers or not, God will give you a sleep, a deep sleep of peace and joy. And you'll be glad to wake up the next day if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Please join me in reading our devotional Bible passage at Psalm 69, verses 30 through 36. The Bible reads, I will praise the name of God with a song. How about it, dear Christian friend? And you know you don't need to be in church to sing a song for the glory of God and to praise his name. The true Christians, they get in the car, can't sing a lick, but they will sing the roof off of that car while they're on their way to a job they really don't like. But they'll give God praise. And they may even sing with Kenny Rogers an old song that he sung, old country song, that goes a little bit like this. Thank God for my job down at the factory. I don't know. That's giving God praise too. Some of you need to thank God for your job wherever it is. And I know some of y'all thank God for that paycheck that you're going to get today. So thank God for your boss. Thank God for your coworkers. Thank God the problems that you have on the job is not as bad as they could be. And thank God for your job down at the factory or wherever you work. Give God the praise for everything. And then the Bible says, and we'll magnify him with thanksgiving. Now you just saw me spontaneously. Pardon me. You just saw me spontaneously give thanksgiving to God. I could have gone on and 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 on. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you who God has touched your heart in that way, you're thankful for everything. You're thankful for everything. Every little thing. Verse 31, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. May God deliver us from these so-called Christians who are never glad about anything, never happy about anything. There's something wrong somewhere. Maybe in your salvation. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Because you ought to be glad, at least sometime. But you really ought to be glad all of the time. For God allowing things to be as good as they are. Can somebody say amen? These unglad people. My. Yet in church. Not glad, miserable, sad, mean as a junkyard dog. Get away from folk like that. Lest that spirit jump on you. I told someone the other day, don't let that person's spirit jump on you now. You've been glad all along. You've been cheerful and joyful, serving God happily. Don't let that other person's wicked spirit jump on you. There's some people you don't need to hang around. There's some people that you don't need to talk to. Because as soon as they open their mouth, hell comes out of their mouth and that spirit jumps on you. Before you know it, you're walking around depressed. They did a scientific study. They published it last week. Watch this. A scientific study came out last week in a publication that says moods are just as contagious as some diseases. And I've never thought about that, I must admit. But I have said things along those lines. There are certain people you don't need to be around. They got a bad spirit. You don't need to be around them. You don't need to go to lunch with them. You don't need to talk to them. As soon as they open their mouth, their bad spirit jumps on you. Their little negative mood jumps on you. I can't tell you the number of pastors who had a happy, cheerful, joyful church member serving God, coming to church on time, beating him to the church, but got with some old disgruntled saints and turned into a devil like them. God help us. Verse 33, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Let everything praise the Lord, everything. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. And everybody said amen to the word of God. Beloved, please join me in prayer for the estates, for all governmental leaders, and all the people, so many who are suffering right in our country. And on our island, suffering, still suffering. And we do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Trump, and we thank you for the four other presidents who are still living. President Carter, President Bush, number one. Five presidents that are still living. We saw three yesterday on the golf course. President Clinton, President Bush number two, and President Barack Obama. And Lord, we had problems with all of them, but we thank you for them stepping up and serving this country in the way that they did. And Lord, we pray for this president as well, and we thank you for him, and we pray that you would give him wisdom and his administration wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon this president, his family, and his administration. And that everybody has to admit that they have done a magnificent job with these hurricanes, as much as humans can do, it seems to me. And we thank you for giving them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and landing the right people to handle this. I have been impressed myself. And we pray for each member of the White House staff, these blessings to fall upon them. We pray for the leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs. We pray for all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all church leaders as well. And Lord, you have placed us here. And just yesterday I saw a picture of a little church out on the prairie. And the thought came to my mind, Lord, as you know, what would this world be without your church? What would this world be like without the churches that stand on the corner in every town? So, Lord, we thank you for your church. We pray for church leaders, those who are religious but lost, we pray that you would save them, revive those of us who are saved again, and help us to get back to our first love, you. And Holy Father God, we pray for all current events. Lord, you know all about all of them, and we're just praying for a few. We pray for the provision, protection, recovery, and salvation for lost people in Puerto Rico, and for healing and deliverance in every way, and all of the islands of the sea that are near America and a part of America, and England or wherever they originate from. And we pray for those devastated by the hurricanes in America. Harvey and Irma as well, who are still digging out of that terrible situation. Comfort them as only you can. Save those who are lost. Lord, turn their eyes towards Jesus. We pray also for the media and all of the estates, that you will lead, guide, and direct them in the way that you want them to go. Save those who are lost in the media, and help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pray for others, and we pray for some of the prayer requests out of hundreds here this morning. We pray for James. Please provide his church with free Bibles and Christian books for their school and church activities and their ministry. And Lord, we get hundreds, as you know, of these prayer requests, and very, very, very few ask for money. I don't know why we don't get a whole lot of folks asking for money, but they don't. They ask for things that they need to do ministry. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll make us a conduit of your blessings to them. And we thank you for their sincerity. We pray for Eric. Please show him the meanings of the visions he is having. We pray for Sheikah. Please provide him and his church with all the Bibles they need for new converts as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for Maricel. Bless her with a child according to your perfect time and will. And we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Aditha. We pray for Isaiah. We pray for Abraham. We pray for Trucilla as well. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. They were once already saved. They got saved, backslid, and heard the preaching of your holy word and were convicted and convinced to return to you, Lord. And we thank you for that decision. We pray for Shinui, Constant, Margaret, and others. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled, Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 1. Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 1. From The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Now, I would imagine that Rick Warren never thought that people would use his book as a devotional book. But that's just how God does. He'll use you to do something, and God will raise up people to take what you've done and use it in all sorts of ways. And you don't know what you're doing when you obey God and do something and do a work like this brother did with this book. And I'll say again, this book is not for old Christians, not for old born-again ones. Thank God for older Christians who, unless they were just not taught anything, this book is really not for you. You should know these things. This book, in my opinion, is primarily for young Christians and young people. That's the reason why I started reading it to my children, because it gives them an idea of what life is all about in a beautifully written, succinct fashion. Now, I'm here to tell you, now, you whatever you think of Rick Warren, God used him to write this book. And as I told you, I do not believe it's just God blessing him. I believe it's God blessing his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather, because he comes from a long line of preachers. Be that as it may, Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. Psalm 119:19 says, I am here on earth for just a little while. Life on earth is a temporary assignment. Can somebody say amen? The Bible is full of metaphors that teach about the brief, temporary, transient nature of life on earth. Life is described as a mist, a fast runner, a breath, and a wisp of smoke. The Bible says, for we were born but yesterday. Our days on earth are as transient as a shadow. To make the best use of your life, you must never forget two truths. First, compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. Can somebody say amen? Second, earth is only a temporary residence. You won't be here long, so don't get too attached. And that's so important. We have too many people who love this life and love living on this earth more than they love the idea of going to heaven to be with God forever. And that's not wise, because you won't be here long. Ask God to help you see life on earth as he sees it. David prayed, "Lord, help me to realize how brief my time on earth will be. Help me to know that I am here for but a moment more." Now, Rick Warren used multiple versions in this book, but still it is a good book. We read the out of the King James here, and so you can recognize what is being said. And we thank God for this brother and for this book. Helping young people in the millions to get a proper perspective of what life is all about. And so understand today, as you start your day, that your life is short, and it may be shorter than what you think. Today may be your last day on earth. You don't know, and I don't know. And so therefore, use it for the glory of God. Do something for the glory of God and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for telling us, thank you for reminding us, that life is short. Whatever we're going to do for your glory, praise, and honor in your kingdom, we need to do it. We do not need to hesitate. We do not need to half-step, because this life is like a vapor. Here 1 second, gone the next. And we know this. For people who were once with us, even this year, are gone. We can't find them because life is short. And so, Lord, help us to understand that and use every second of our life that we have left to glorify your name and to lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to witness to others and to help others come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, the greatest thing that you can do this morning is to accept God's free gift of salvation through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior, and I assure you that he will save your soul. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in my life and in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. And help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn away from my evil ways and follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, it is as simple as that, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin, and you're saved from the punishment of sin, which is hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.